It's so good to see everybody. That is the longest break that we've ever had, and it seems like it's been forever since we've been together. To begin with here, I thought the key verse is, at that time men to begin to call on the name of the Lord. And I have been reading. I'm always reading. I know that's real surprising to all of you. You remember, if you ever read a novel, they had what you call call cards. They'd send your card off to a neighbor or a friend and ask if they could call on you in the afternoon for tea. And so if when it says we call on Jesus, and I thought, well, how do you call on Jesus? And I had just read, another one of these old Southern books where they had their call cards. And so Jesus has already given us a call card. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and I'm ready to come in and sup with you. And so to me, it's more, you don't sit and say, Jesus. It's not like that kind of a call. It's an invitation to have a relationship. And so I thought that was quite interesting. Also, I wanted to start way back, and I know that you think, well, we'll never get through this, but we're going to. And so we're starting, as you noticed up here, in 4 and 25. You remember, sometimes or another, I used to think that Adam and Eve and their two children all lived in the Garden of Eden, but I don't think they were born until after Adam and Eve got out of the garden. Yeah. And so when you read this, that Eve has another son, and she names him Seth, saying, God has granted me a child in place of Abel. Since Cain killed him, Seth also had a son, and he was named Enosh. And at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And that was why I was talking about call. What does that tell you about Eve?
Well, she knew God.
Yeah, that's what it tells you. They were thrown out of the garden, and you think, well, they have no relationship with God. God's not listening to us, and we're not listening to him. But it says here that she gives God the glory and says, God has blessed me with a child to replace. Yes.
I think she was repentant. And
yeah.
She realized what she lost.
Uh-huh.
She, committed that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she loved the Lord with all her heart, even though they were no longer in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it shows us that she remained faithful.
I do too. And I think, sometimes I had three children. You have one, and then you try to correct what you didn't do right with the second one. And because you have to learn on the first one.
Yeah.
And then the second one, you think, well, I shouldn't have overdone it that time. So you have the third one, and you think, well, I'm going to correct it this time. Honey, we're all sinners. But I just thought that this showed that she had not lost her faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
They've been thrown out of the garden, and they've been working real hard just to eat.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that garden where everything's perfect for them to go ahead and eat. And also, I want us to remember that when Adam and Eve were created, they were created full grown in their body, but they were infants.
Yes.
And that's why it was so vital that Jesus walked with them, or God walked with them in the garden, and began to teach them. And even you go back and remember the first, if you can remember that far back, the first and second chapter that God said, we will need to plant a garden, but we can't plant a garden until we create man to take care of it. And so when he did create Adam, he put him in the garden purposely to work and care for that garden. And so from the very beginning, it was God's creative idea we worked together in all of this. And so, since I have been a gardener in my past, and my kids have tried to be a gardener once in a while, if it's already planted and it's growing, and all you got to do is go out there and gather it, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll just last one season, and then you're going to have to do it all over again. So God was having to teach them how to eat. He was having to teach them what was in the garden and how to use it and what to do with it. And you also know that when it died back, well, you had to plant some more, so you had to collect some seeds. Just simple stuff so they'd have enough stuff to even exist. And so then we need to also remember about the two trees. I'm not real sure. I'm sure there were two trees there, but I think they had more of a lesson to teach than food to eat. We know for sure that when God said, you don't eat of that second tree there, if you do, the day you eat of it, you'll die. Well, we know the fruit was okay. She did not drop dead. So it wasn't the fruit that was going to kill you. And so the tree of life from God is you have got to stay dependent upon me. Jesus even said, if you do not drink my blood and eat my flesh, you will not be mine. And so that's another way that God speaks in the Bible about taking in God's lessons and God's teachings. And so when they chose the other tree, it was a choice they chose to step away from God. And when they did that, they said, well, they knew what was right and wrong. And also they decided they were as good as God. And they left God because we didn't need him anymore because of outer influences. And thinking about it, I can make my own decisions. And so when we start making our own decisions, we find out in 10 generations, it just goes from worse to bad. So I want you to think about how much it was important that God walked with them daily and talked with them because he was teaching them how to live. And so we have to walk also with him daily because he's teaching us how to live. And so we have to continue to depend on him and how to use what we have and not make decisions without prayer and all of that kind of stuff. So I wanted us to look at it that way. But I was so thankful when I got to looking at here. I feel like that what we're going to have, and I have another question over here in 5 and 6. It looks like that God is having a new beginning. Because he goes back and uses the very same words he did in chapter 1 with his relationship with Adam. So that was one of the things that I wanted to lay down the foundation over. And so we go from there into the next chapter. And there is something here that Norman and I have already talked about. This is the written account of Adam's life. You know, you have so many people that decide nobody knew how to write or read or anything else until thousands, millions and millions of years. In the beginning, God knew all of that. Most people, we don't have anywhere in here, we don't have like Paul who says, I, Paul, am telling you this. But I, God, is telling you the whole Bible. It's all inspired from the word forward. But when you really get thinking about who wrote this, and most scholars agree with this, that Moses wrote this account. You know, up until the time of Moses, always before you had reading and you had people that were able to do these kind of, they did keep up their ancestors and what was going on with them, and they continued to keep their telling each other as they came through all of this time. What happened to my people, how they were happened to, it didn't have to be written. But we know that Moses, his life is in 40 years. The first 40 years he lived in the palace. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated. He was trained. He knew everything that the coming up king over Egypt should know. And we know from history that Egypt had accounts of everything they did. It's still in stone here. And so it is believed that Moses wrote all of the first books, even up through the giving of the law. But these first ones, he'll write them by the power of the Holy Spirit during the 40 years of wandering. Mm-hmm. And so then I said here when I in our thing, did it surprise you there was a written account out of Adam's life? And that says a written account. And also we know from the very beginning that there were words because that's how God said that Jesus' words and how the words of God started. And he taught us his language. Is there anybody, do y'all have any ideas on any of those or thinking about any of it or want to say anything? Yeah.
Number one, the question, why do you think the creation of man is repeated in chapter 5, 1, same wording?
Yeah.
Can you say, did they answer that again?
Yeah. She wants to know what I wrote down. You will notice here it says, it's just a repeat, when Adam had lived 130 years and his son in his own likeness and his own image and he named him Seth and Seth born. And then he lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters altogether. Adam lived 930 years and then he died. And so when Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enos. And then and it goes on. Where exactly was it that was it?
Well, the question is, why do you think the creation of man is repeated?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I don't remember where exactly that is, but you'll see it's exactly the same wording. He goes back and he reminds Adam, you know, this right here, it says, let us make man in our image and our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. That let us make man in our own image is the same wording here. And this is that God created man, and he made him in the likeness of God, and he created them both male and female, blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man.
Okay.
That's
so
just
a reminder?
Yeah, it's just a repeat. Well, I think it was telling Adam, remember who you are.
Oh, okay.
And it's also reminding us. Yeah. Teresa?
I thought it was interesting how you said new beginning at the first part of that question, and that's kind of where my mind went. And then Seth named his son. So Seth replaced, he's going to be deceived, and he named his son Enos, which means mankind.
Uh-huh.
It's like a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of mankind. Well, to me it shows mercy. You know, when you think when they were thrown out of the garden and they put this flaming torch here, said, you're not coming back in. And of course, they did break the relationship with God. The Holy Spirit was not constantly with them like he had been. But, you know, then if that couple was the only people on earth and they didn't know beans about what they were doing, I can't imagine how horrible it was after having God with them as they walked and talked every day and encouraged them and told them that he loved them and cared for them and any need they had, well, he supplied. And all of a sudden, then we're on our own. How many times have you landed up on your own after making stupid decisions? Probably not as many as I have. But that's just, and I thought, well, this is calling him back to them. Remember, you are made in the image of God. Remember who you are. You're special. And we have a relationship. It's broken, it's got to be repaired, but you're still my creation. And we're still going to work together. And so thank you for asking those questions, because I think they're very, very important. We've got 10 generations here. And also, I think it's important when it says that Seth began to call upon the name of the Lord. Because it shows that they hadn't, that the whole family, we don't know if there's any kids in the middle here between, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like that it goes, you know, when it's talking about hundreds of years that things happens, that's really hard for me to understand. So we don't really know how long. Number one, we don't know how long that Adam and God were in the garden together by themselves. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the garden with him. We don't know how long it's been since they were expelled from the garden. And so, you know, you can endure something for 5 years, 10 years maybe. But of course, we don't even live 100 years, and you know, if it just goes on and on and on, and that's just the way it is, you would really see mercy when it showed up, I think. So that was another thing that I looked at when we were looking at here. And so it says here, do you see this account of the family record of Adam, the value of family generations, and the importance to our whole family to remain strong in faith of God, to bless all the family, and each one has a responsibility to carry the faith into God and forward. I'm a genealogist. I just love finding somebody. Gene said, you just go around looking for dead people all the time. But we went plumb to North Carolina looking in cemeteries. We found more dead people. One time we were in Graham, and he was pretty bad about this. He had people on Hill Graham, and they've got dead people in 5 different cemeteries. So we were dragging the grandkids from one to the other so they could see somebody that's dead. And finally, about the 4th cemetery, one of our granddaughters looked at Gene and said, do you have anybody that's alive here? That our heritage, I think even our genetics, I think there is a genetic memory. Now, that's just my personal opinion. Because I have always had a heart for Native Americans, and always for the people of England, and always for Irish. That's where all of my people have come from. And some of their genetic DNA is in me. And it always thrills me to see that most of my people came out of all of those places, from Europe and places, because they were Christians and they wanted to worship God.
No, you know, I remember looking through this one time and realizing that we see our children, our grandchildren, and maybe a great-grandchild, but when somebody lives 900 years, a lot of these people that you're first talking about know, I think, and I could be wrong, that I think Adam was alive when Noah was born.
Well, it's quite possible.
And you're like, wait.
It's quite possible. And I think that's another thing that, you know, when you really look at this, you think, well, this happened, this happened, this happened. You got 1,000 years here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say that three or four, like male, is what you'd call a generation. Well, we've got jillions of them here that we have recorded, and there's a bunch that's not recorded. And they live forever and ever, and they, you know, they'll live so long, and they'll have children, and then they have sons and daughters. So I don't know how many landed up there. But Adam could have lived through most of these people's lives. And to me, it shows the faith that Adam and Eve established and reestablished in their family. Because they did not have it. And they didn't realize, like someone said, they didn't realize the value of what it was. And so we need to, I just think that's just a real, real good lesson. Mm-hmm. Yes?
The other thing about it is, they didn't at 80 or 90 become feeble.
No.
Because you, when you read about Moses, what did he live,
120 years.
And when God took him up, he said his vision was still good.
Yeah.
He said he was strong physically, you know,
mm-hmm.
the mountain and everything, so.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't wrap our brain around all that.
Well, but I just kind of wanted to realize what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how much time goes by. But I think it's so exciting to me how faith grows. Mm-hmm. You know, it started here to me with Eve. And I think the relationship with Eve and the Father God was pretty strong, because she still felt like if it hadn't been for me, we wouldn't have been in this mess. And that he hadn't completely thrown me away. He has given me a baby to replace the one that was killed. And I still cannot imagine how she reacted to see her son dead. She'd never seen a dead person. You know, when somebody talks about somebody being dead, and if you've never seen anybody dead, that's not going to ring. And so I think it is important that we have Eve here rather than Adam, and talking about how she thinks that God has replaced her son. Because I look for stuff like that. I think, you know, I just think we need to realize that women have been extremely important to God from the very beginning. So that's laying groundwork. Anyway, we continue going on down here. It said the son in his likeness and on image. And Adam lived 800 years and other sons and daughters, and altogether he lived 930 years. Then he died. Every one of these people here died except one. And so it just calls, you know, different ages and different things of when they come. But it goes on down here, and you need to know that Methuselah, I think, is the father. Enoch is the father of Methuselah. And notice he has just lived 65 years, and he becomes a father. So it shows that at least he didn't have to live 400, 500 years before he started having kids. And Methuselah means he will die in the time of the flood, or the deluge. And that does not mean that he will be drowned. He was just going, that's the year he's just going to die. And he's lived longer than the rest of them anyway, so it's just probably a good time. He's tired. And so that's in 22. He said, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God in 300 years and had other sons and daughters, and altogether walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. And then when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters, and altogether Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. I bet they thought he never would. And when Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son, and he named him Noah. And so that gets us down to here. And he said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground that the Lord cursed. And after Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. And he goes on and said, then he died. And then we get down to Noah. And after Noah, he had lived 500 years and he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Enoch here is the only one. And the reason that God took him is because of he walked with God. And notice, where is it that it talks about when Noah's called, and why is Noah set apart when God looks at all the evil people? That's in 6 and 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God, and then he has these children. And so there is even more things said about Noah. He found favor, and he's righteous, and he walked with God, and why didn't he be taken away like his great-granddaddy? Did you wonder about that?
I didn't before, but I will now.
Yeah.
Here's something I wonder. I know in the Bible, you know, people have babies and all that stuff, but not every baby is written in.
No.
It's only the ones that are going to carry on the line to get to Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if these first people who lived so long, did they really wait until they were 130 before they had a baby? Or was it that they had babies and that's the one that got in the Bible?
I think that's the one. When we're starting right here, and especially after Noah. After Noah comes and after the flood, I think I asked you this question before we broke up, the Canaanites. No, because Cain and all of his descendants are going to be drowned. We're going to carry on one family, and that's the family of Seth for all these generations. And they say even this probably isn't all the ones, it's just the ones that carry the faith forward.
So another question.
Mm-hmm.
When it's, when the Lord said go forth and be fruitful and multiply. So it wasn't one woman having all these children from the one husband, was it? I mean, it's like they had wives. I mean, it's like, dogs can have litters and litters and litters, but it's like, you know, humans, we get up to about what? And then we're
that's over max with me.
I mean, there's people yeah. who've had, you know.
Well, I don't think that's clear. I think that's possible, or I think it might not be.
Okay.
You know, and then we know for sure that every once in a while it's said that we'll have more children. And they don't trace the women unless they've got a strong point. Unless God had used them in a certain way, mm-hmm. and they didn't, and you know, we can't understand how everybody could all marry everybody's kinfolks, but you know, it even got for a while that they said, well, you go to like 3 or 4 generations back, you go to a family reunion to find a wife, and you go back far enough in your own family, not too many generations back, and you see cousins that are married. Think of it. After a while, it said, do not intermarry for the reason that we do not intermarry or want to carry on, because you have two weaknesses together. You know, some couples, if they've got both genetic weakness of some kind, if it's just one of them, it don't go forward. But if they both have this length, your children will probably do that. Seth was born, and he started his family. And from Adam and Eve repenting and teaching their children more and more about God, faith begins again. And it's not perfect. We do have one man in here, is the only one that we know of that does take off because of his goodness. And then it gets down here, and it's not long. And when you get it put down way off down here, it said, then Noah was born, and Noah lives 500 years before he became the father. It doesn't say he became the father. He said he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Even right there, you've got 2,000 years just from that little jump right there. And so that gives the amount of time that the faith for all these years back degenerates down. But it came, I don't know, it seems like, you know, there'll be a real time of real hot revival. I kind of in the 50s that went along, and then all of a sudden it was the 60s, and then everybody wanted to be a hippie and live under a tree. You know, it says you got to reestablish faith in every generation. But the value of listing all of this and looking at it is they did that. And their first and only command was you be fruitful and multiply, because God won't. He said, I want a lot of people. And so that was a great thing for them to do, is being fruitful and multiplying. So they just stayed with it. So then we go down here to that, and how old was Noah? He was 500. So we have now then going at the flood. And when man began to increase in number on the earth, and the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. And the tent, and they were not content with men forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120. Even God got tired of trying to keep up with this much. And so we're going to stop right there. So what is the problem here? Why is it they're beginning to marry into these people? It's because they were pretty. It wasn't, are they good? This is where you see they're choosing the wrong tree. They are deciding, well, she look. I think men fall in love with their eyes and their stomach. If they've got something deep. But really, a real pretty woman, I'll turn a man anytime they walk down the road. Yes.
We have a question.
Okay.
On 6 and 1,
uh-huh.
Where it says, the sons of God saw that the daughters of human were beautiful. What does that mean, the sons of God?
The ones of faith.
So the daughters were not...
These are sons of God. We're the people of faith.
Right.
And begin to intermarry with the women that were pretty.
But they were not...
But it don't say they're of faith.
Ah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. It is this is how everybody gets married now. They look good, and what are they going to do for me? Yes.
So there was a question back here that kind of I was wanting to ask you.
Could they be the sons of God were part of his heavenly host?
Yes.
Because it says they're giants, and I watched the documentary.
Then they were still giants after they got into Canaan. There was a whole country full of those guys.
Yes. I watched the documentary when we had this last
time. You watch the documentary, you'll hear the wrong thing.
And it said, well, it was a very long, it said that, you know, there's a heaven, just more than just Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. It's like a whole realm of this heaven before he came to earth, right? Wouldn't that be... And it said, like, Satan was the son of God that fell?
Yeah, that's very confusing all in there.
Yeah.
But to me, godly men married ungodly women, and the reason they did, because they were pretty. We have one adjective for the man. They were men of God. We have one adjective for the woman. She's pretty. That's not the basis for a good marriage. Don't complicate it. But these Nephilites, or whatever they're called, you've got a reference over, and after the Canaan is already set up, there is a whole tribe of those people, and because when they went into Canaan to see about whether they could take it or not, spies got scared to death of this whole bunch, and they got the same name. It's in Numbers. And they said, we're just like grasshoppers. We can't take that country. That's how come not to try to go in there, because they're like, broke their faith down. Reference that over into Numbers, and you'll see that there's still, it's just a group of people that was giants and a whole tribe of them. But at this point, these men were godly.
Well, my Bible doesn't say they
were
godly.
Well, it says here.
It says the sons of God saw that the daughters of men.
Okay, they are the sons of God. That's godly.
No, and it says they took them wives of all which they desired, or they chose.
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't sound like these were godly men. They just picked what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to connect these.
Well, men's been trying to connect that a long time. I just don't go there.
Yeah, can I say something?
Yeah.
So if anybody is like super interested in this topic, this is something that I've been studying for like more than a year. I'm just going to recommend a book. It's by Dr. Michael Heiser. It's called The Unseen Realm. And it explains a lot of the hard to understand things in the Bible. So if you're curious about that.
I look at it, the only way I can function is just going straight to the Bible. And if you find it in any other, and I know those people are a lot smarter than I am, but I just know that for some reason or other, these marriages right in here was mixing people that were not being obedient to God's law.
Yeah.
And were not godly people. Yes. Teresa?
I listened to a teacher who, and one of her sayings is, don't whisper where Scripture shouts. Where Scripture whispers. We are given a lot. Commentaries that go both sides of that. It's super interesting. But the thing that caught my attention is, whichever it is, or whatever it is, you just see the enemy trying to pervert the seed line. Then it goes on to chapter 6 where he's done a really good job because these people are evil. And so God has to start over again where the enemy really was trying to do that.
We're not going to have all the answers from Bible. I love what you say. Don't try to shout what whispers. And don't try to find answers when it's not clear.
Just one more, Jean. It says if you have faith in the Bible, and everything in the Bible is written for our learning. So if it's there, you can't just disregard it.
I'm not disregarding it.
No, I don't mean you. I mean, as you read it in the study, to want to know who this is and what they're doing and why are they in the book.
Well, and what we're having here is the foundation of the destruction of the world. This is the foundation where everybody gets lost. It's intermarrying, and like Teresa said, you know, Eve had been told, through your seed, all the world will be blessed. And so it has to come out of a pure seed. And so when they get to mixing up, you know, even when we went into Canaan, God set up about 4 laws. He said, do not intermarry. Do not sign a contract. Do not pick up their worshiping habits. Yeah. Go in and kill even the babies. Because when you have people intermarrying into God's plan and carrying this forward, He knows what's going to happen. You're going, and how many, it didn't even take them 2 generations to go out and make a contract to somebody. Because somebody got dressed up like beggars and come in and said, oh, we're starving to death. You can't do anything with us. So God, and this is going back to the seed, like Teresa said. You've got to keep it pure and you've got to keep it forward. But this is why, this is the bedrock where everything that had been doing so good for all these generations in chapter 5 just goes down the tube.
Didn't take them very long, did it?
No, it doesn't take very long to destroy a whole generation of people. That's why every generation needs at least one person of faith. So there's the Nephilims, or how you pronounce it, was on the earth in those days, and afterwards the sons of gods went to the daughters of men and had children by them, and they were heroes and men of renown. In other words, everybody looked up to this bunch. And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth had become, and every inclination of their hearts, and was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved, for he had made man on the earth, and his life was, his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move on the ground, birds and air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And it goes in, he was a righteous man, he was blameless among men, and at his time, he walked with God. And then Noah had these 3 sons. So we don't have, and there's a lot of people will say here that some of these are angels. Angels do not reproduce. You go over and Jesus said that angels do not have children. You know, they had this guy come up one day. He said, well, you know, if this man had a son and he died, and then then they had to go to the next son, and he didn't have children by him, and they go to the next son and didn't have children by him either. Whose wife is this woman going to be when she gets to heaven? He said the angels are not into reproducing. So you know it's not there.
Right. And we also don't become angels.
No, angels are different. They're, yeah, oh, they're in a different plane. Anyway, we have a tendency to want to answer questions that have not been answered. And so the only thing I can say here, I don't know. I just know that these first nine verses here describes how the world got so bad. I'm living in some bad times now. We all are. But just think of Noah, the only family on the earth that was not completely corrupted all the time. And in here it said it just grieves God. I didn't create this world for this. I didn't create this world for these people to get this way. I'm just going to do away with it and accept Noah, a righteous man. This one more time. One righteous man and his family is the reason we're here. If you don't learn anything else, and you may not. So that's just the way it goes. And so it said, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, and all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all these people on the earth. It's filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself a boat. And then that's what we will get into next week, is making ourselves a boat. I have some principles I wrote down here. I used to do this all the time when it's a Bible study fellowship. Principle number one, God extends his mercy always if we repent and come back to him. Principle number two, it is never too late to start over with God. And principle number three, God will honor the faith in him and bless all the families by the faith of one member of the family. You'll all be blessed if you've got one godly person, because they've got hope of turning this all back. And then the last principle, God created us, designed us, knows what will bless us, and God's word must be our guide. So, that's all we have to say. You got this here.
Thank you, Father, for bringing us one more day to praise your name, to learn your word. And we have many questions, Father God, and we need to trust your word. Your word is true, no matter what our minds may wonder. We just thank you that you enlighten us every day. We thank you for Miss Jean and her direction in your word. We thank you for this place where we can come and worship you and learn about you more. We thank you for every single woman here that pours out her heart in these prayers. And we ask, Father God, that you bless each and every one of them. We thank you that you are the light to this world, allowing for us to shine in our lives as we go through the day, through all we come in contact with. We just thank you for the birth of your son, for his sacrifice, that he died for our sins, and that you wanted us back to you. No matter how much we fail you, you still love us. We so thank you for that. Father God, we trust you and we just give you all honor and praise as we go through our day. Father God, be with us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.